Again, I am proud to be an American this morning. I praise the Lord for that opportunity to be born into this great nation. As many of you, just as I, sat here the other evening and listened to our mission team's testimonies of what they had experienced in another country, you begin to realize that we do live in the greatest nation in the world. And to know today how blessed we really are, if you pause and think about that for just a moment, I know in my life anyway, it seems as if I take a lot of that for granted. I really do. And I just in the last few days have really been just praying to God that He would just make me mindful and keep my mind that I would always be grateful for what I have. The majority of us here today, yesterday, we had somewhere cool to be. Praise the Lord. We had nice cool water to drink. Probably in the last week, we haven't missed a meal. If we did, it was by choice. I haven't missed one. I love to eat. And probably this afternoon when you go home now, if you're like us at our house, you'll have a great lunch and then you'll either make the decision to take a nap or not. I really can't sleep during the day. I can't do that. Many have told me, just wait, you can in a few years. But we have those choices. And you know, it's really something that you and I, we ought to be thankful today. We really ought to. We ought to be thankful that we're citizens of the United States of America. They are literally people, as I am speaking right now, who are laying their life on the line to get into this nation. Just to be part of this. The allure of being a United States citizen draws people to be here. It's amazing to me to know that people risk their lives just to be in this country. And you and I, we sit and we may have complaints. I know I do about the way things sometimes goes in this nation. But still, all together, praise be unto God that I am here today and a citizen of this nation. But you know, not only just being thankful for being a United States citizen, there's some other things that you and I ought to be thankful for. I mean, we really ought to. And I want to invite you this morning, if you would, to go ahead and take your Bibles and take them and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 9 and about verse 15. We are right now in the middle of a series. We're getting near the end of it. I'll go ahead and let you know that. We're getting near the end of a series right now entitled T-minus 8 hours and counting. And the premise behind that series is this. Now, we all realize that Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming. Okay? The Bible's clear, though, that there is no man, woman, or child alive that knows when that will be. The Bible tells us that not even the angels in heaven know when Christ will return. Well, hypothetically, if you knew when that time was going to be, the exact moment that Christ was going to return, and you only had 8 hours left in your life before He returned, what would you do? Many a person, I'm sure, across this land, they would take every bit of the money they had and, boy, have a good time. Woohoo! There would be folks who would do other things that would benefit themselves in those 8 hours. But I'm asking you to really think on a spiritual level, what would you do? We've looked at several things here in the last few weeks. Last week, we looked at forgiveness. If you're holding aught against somebody else, in other words, you're holding something against somebody. The Bible is clear, as we saw last week in the Gospel of Matthew, that Jesus Himself says that if you and I do not forgive that person, then our Father, our Heavenly Father, will not be able to forgive us. It's irrelevant. Listen to me. I didn't say this last week, but I want to say it now. It's irrelevant whether or not the other person forgives you. It doesn't matter. You cannot control that person. If they hold on to that, then they're the ones that will have to answer to God for that. Only you can forgive others. And the Bible says that it is hard, that God cannot forgive us unless we forgive others. We looked at things like that, and we've looked also and just thought to ourselves, you know what? Jesus is coming again. We forget that so many times, it seems as if. But He is coming again. Well, this morning, I want to take just a few moments in this series and ask you the question, are you thankful? The automatic answer to that would be, well, sure, yes, I'm thankful. And it's in times like this right here in this service this morning that we really begin to think about all the things that we have that God's blessed us with, and we really begin to become thankful. But it's the everyday life. When you and I walk outside this place, live our lives next week, in those moments, are you thankful then? The Bible tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, if you're there, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul here begins, or ends rather, a train of thought, and he ends it with one sentence when he writes these words, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. And Father, I pray this morning that here in the next few moments we have together, that Lord Jesus, we would be just that. That for every one of us here today, that we would be thankful. God, we have so much to be thankful for. We've already given thanks for being citizens of this great nation. But God, there's other things as well. And Lord, I pray as we look through Your Word this morning, that we too would be reminded of some of those things. And that God, as we leave this place here in just a few moments, that Lord, we would be thankful for all that You have blessed us with. For it's in the precious and the holy name of Your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Now, the Bible tells us clearly right here, the first thing is this, is that you and I, we ought to be, number one, thankful for our salvation today. Did you realize that today, that if you are sitting in this place, that if you are a child of the King, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you and I, we have avoided a place called hell. Amen. Praise God. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, standing before you here today, not based on something that I've done, but based on what Christ has done for me, that I have salvation today, and praise be unto Him that I am saved. We ought to be thankful for our salvation today. The Bible says clearly, Paul writes right here, in all of his mastery of writing and all of these gifts that he has been given Paul to be able to write out the things that God tells him, Paul still says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 that the very gift of God, salvation, it cannot even be described today. One of the translations says that it's unspeakable. You can't even speak. You can't even begin to think and be so gracious or thankful for the salvation that you and I have today. We cannot even begin to describe that. I flat sure can't in my way of talking. There we go. I'll get it out in a minute. I can't even stand to listen to myself on a recording. I can't stand that. That high-pitched squeal voice. Now, when I'm up here talking to you right now, I sound like I'm in my... But boy, to listen to it, I don't see how y'all sit out there. I really don't. I might get up and leave if I was here. But the Bible says clearly that our salvation is indescribable. We cannot even begin to put words into that. We cannot even begin to be thankful for what God has done for us. We can't even begin to describe that. I know I can't. You know what's amazing to me today? We sit back and we see our nation in which we live in today, the greatest nation on the planet. As my brother said earlier, we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but we still have our problems. We do. We don't have problems. I'll just call it like it is. We got a mess. But we are still the greatest nation. And you know what? I don't understand this, but the Bible is clear. And you may want to turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. When you get there, say amen. The Word of God tells us this. It says, for the word of the cross, or the gospel, if you will, is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. I want you for just a moment this morning to go back to your life. What you were like before you got saved. What were you like then? Listen to me this morning. If you automatically like that cannot see or tell a difference in your life, I'm no man or woman's judge this morning, but you need to check your life, your salvation experience then. If there is no change in your life, then you need to check your salvation experience. Because today, listen to me, sitting in this room from the time you were saved to the time you sit right here today, guys, you ought to be a different person. You ought to not say the same things you used to say. You ought not to do the same things you used to do. Listen to me, you are a new creature in Christ today. You have been changed today. You see the world differently today. You see others differently. You love others as you want to be loved. You treat others the way you want to be treated. You are different today. If anybody ever comes up to you and tells you you're different because you're a believer, well, praise God. Amen. Because see, the Bible says those who are perishing, those who are on the road to hell itself, see, what you and I are talking about right now is nothing but foolishness. It's a fairy tale. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not. It is the very power of God today that has changed your life if you're a believer this morning. It has changed my life today. And based on that fact, for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, we ought to be thankful today. You thankful? Amen. I tell you what I am. You wouldn't have liked me before I became a believer. I was, as Paul says, I was chief of sinners. I just go ahead and tell you, I flat sure wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be standing up here talking to you. I wouldn't be in a church this morning. But praise be unto God, He changed my life. The second thing I want us to see that you and I need to be thankful for this morning is this. We are to give thanks for our families today. Are you thankful for your family today? You know, Brother Mike, there's a couple of them. I'm not sure. Whew. Been to those family reunions. There's just that certain uncle. You know, I mean, you just try to. You make sure you got your eyes on him and you try to stay away. No, I'm just playing. I do, but anyway, turn with me in the Word of God to 2 Timothy, please. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. We ought to be thankful for our families today. We really had. I'm here to tell you, Brother Allen said it a moment ago. How many days did you say, Brother? 21? It's been 21 days. 21 days. There about. Our brother here, he probably can't remember. He's been going full tilt. But you know what? Last night, I want to share this with y'all. I hadn't shared this with my family. Lynn's cringing right now because she don't know what in the world I'm about to say. But last night, for the first time in about 3 weeks, me and my family, we were all at the house together. I just want to share this with you. Man, I tell you what, it felt good. It really did. I mean, my wife, my daughter, they've been in another country. They're back home. My son and I, we've been pretty much all over the Southeast here in the last 3 weeks. But we were at home. And I'm here to tell you, I sat around, we were eating dinner last night, and we were sitting around, I tell you what, I just brought a smile to my face. Thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you that they're here. I just praise God. I just know today, listen to me, listen to this morning. If you're sitting in this place here today and every person in your family is saved today and knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, hey, you ought to get on your knees and praise His holy name today. I'm here to tell you today, I looked around the table, I just knew last night, all my family saved, all of them know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I got to thinking about it, I got a mom and dad right now in Phoenix City, Alabama. My mom, she can't get around that good right now, she's had knee surgery and she's hobbling around on a walker, but she is up and about, praise be unto God. And those two women, those two men, that man and that woman up there in Phoenix City, Alabama, they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm here to tell you, I got to thinking about my in-laws, I got to thinking about my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and I got to thinking about them right there. And I'm here to tell you, I just praise be unto God today that I know all of them know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if He comes back today, I know that my entire family is going to heaven. Amen. We ought to be thankful for that. Notice what the Bible says here. Paul writes to young Timothy here in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look with me there at about verse 3 is where we'll begin. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. Paul writes to young Timothy and he says these words, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day." Now skip down to verse 5. "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you," Paul tells Timothy, "which first," listen to this, "which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." Grandpas and grandmas, can I share this with you right here for just a moment? Whether you realize it or not, today, as grandparents, you are setting an example for your grandchildren. Now, they may not come out and say, I'm watching you, Grandma, Grandpa, I'm watching you. But I guarantee you they are. And the way you live your life outside this place matters in the life of your grandchildren. And listen to this. Parents, moms, dads sitting in this room here today, they may not say it, but your children are watching you, how you live your life outside this place. And it matters today the way you live it. Because whether you realize it or not, you are affecting the life of your children and your grandchildren. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Your grandmama," I'm putting in South Alabama lingo, "your grandmama and your mama," because we don't say mother, we say mama, "they live for Jesus. And boy, I know it's done wore off on you as well." Amen. I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. I praise be unto God this morning. Listen, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't. Our brother give testimony about our vacation Bible school here at Grandview Baptist Church. Praise be unto God. I never attended a vacation Bible school the whole time I was a child. The first one I ever went to was whenever I was a teenage boy. And listen, I didn't go to it to attend it. I went to it to work in it. I've never been to a vacation Bible school in my life. But I'm here to tell you today to listen to me. I can still remember my mother sitting on the edge of the bed reading the Bible to me as I was crawling around and playing on the floor. I can still see my mother sitting on the edge of that bed reading that Bible to me. And I'm here to tell you today, listen to me, I believe with all my heart that some of it wore off on this old boy. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And listen to me today, guys. You and I ought to be thankful for our families that we have. Amen. But there's another thing that you and I need to be thankful for, and that's this. That is, we ought to be thankful for our friends. You say, now, wait a minute now. What? Where are you going with it? Follow me on this. I want you to write these down. Don't have to turn it all these, but I want you to go back and look at them when you have time, all right? Be thankful for your friends. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, I thank God for you. He's talking about the church at Rome. He's thanking God for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, he says these words, I thank God for you. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 through 16, he says that he thanks God for the people at Ephesus. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, he thanks God for those people there. In Colossians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4, he thanks God for the people that are there at the church at Colossae. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, he thanks God for the people there at the church at Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he thanks God again for those people. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he thanks God for Timothy and the friendship that he had with him. And in Philemon 4, he says that he thanks God for him as well. I'm here to tell you today, listen to me, if you got friends sitting in this room, if you got one friend, I'm talking about true friends, you ought to be thankful to God today. I got two friends right now. I was able to spend about 3 days with one of them here a couple of weeks ago. And I'm here to tell you, me and these two guys, we have been friends since we were boys. Yay high. We have been friends since then. I'm 43 years old. I was telling somebody about this the other day. They said, that is absolutely amazing that you guys have stayed in contact that long. I'm here to tell you, I thank God for these men that are the friends in my life. I mean true friends. Now, I'm not just talking about somebody that's your friend because of what you have, how much money you got, or what you do for them. I'm talking about true friends that's just your friend because they want to be your friend. You ought to be thankful for them. But the fourth thing I want us to see this morning is this. Bear with me, we're almost there. You ought to be thankful, and I ought to be thankful this morning. Take your Bibles and turn over to Philippians with me. Turn back to Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. If I had a I do. This is my favorite book in the entire New Testament. I love this book. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. When you get there, say amen. Paul writes to the church at Philippi and he says these words, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. What is he saying? He's saying this. He's thanking God for how they have blessed him financially. That's just the thrust or the thought behind what he's saying right here. And you and I, guys, listen to this today. You and I are to be thankful for our finances today. Do you realize that? You know, as Americans, we truly are spoiled, aren't we? I got to thinking about it this past week, and you know what? Indecision is one of my biggest problems. And I'm here to tell you, you want to see me go into meltdown mode. Now, just bear with me. Is to go to the store. I want you to notice this. Go to the store and just take a look at how many different types of shampoo you can buy. There is one entire aisle devoted to shampoo. If that doesn't send you over the top, go an aisle over and look at the deodorant section. We are spoiled in the United States of America with the choices we have. In fact, if we don't have but one or two choices, we get upset about that, don't we? No, we get flat out mad about that. Listen to this. Did you realize right now in the United States of America, we have 220 different types of cars we can choose from today? 220. We have 250 different types of breakfast cereals we can choose today. Frosted Flakes or Captain Crunch, whichever one you like. There's 400 different types of DVD players that you can choose from. There is 500 different insurance policies you can choose from, 300 different mutual funds, and oh yes, by the way, there are 35 different styles of shower heads. The choice is yours today. Which one do you want? I mean, my gracious alive, and listen to me, you know, listen. The majority of us sitting, and probably all of us sitting in this room here today, we have the finances to purchase whatever we want. It's amazing, isn't it? I sat back and I listened to my wife and my daughter share. And many of you did hear they've shared some things with me at home. And I just praise God today. How blessed I am. Listen to this. Today, if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world today. Wait a minute. If you have money in the bank, whether it be a penny or $100,000, if you have money in your wallet right now, some spare change in your pocket or in a dish at the house, you, listen to this, you are categorized with and part of 8% of the most wealthiest people in the world today. I didn't say the United States. The world. You realize how blessed we are today? You ought to be thankful today for the money that you have. God has definitely blessed us today. But there's one final thing that I want us to see here today, and that's this. Turn to Colossians. Just look in Colossians there, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Today, you and I are to be thankful for our future. You say, wait a minute, preacher boy, I don't know what the future holds for me. If you're a born-again believer sitting in this room today, you know what your future holds for you. If you're saved today sitting in this room here today, you know exactly what your future holds for you. It's heaven. Notice what Paul writes to that church there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. He says these words, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Listen to this. Today, sitting in this room right here today, no matter how hard life may be, no matter how tough it may seem financially, you say to yourself, well, wait a minute, now, preacher boy, you talking about being thankful for finances. You know what? I don't know financial if we're going to be able to make it. Here, I don't know that. Listen to this. And you're talking about being thankful for all these things. I don't have time to be thankful because of everything else that's going on in mine and my family's life. Can I share this with you today? You and I ought to be thankful today because of our future. Because I'm here to tell you today, it gets a lot better than it is right now. Amen. It gets a whole lot better than this. What our future holds. I close with this story. Jimmy Stewart, when he was alive, starred in a movie entitled Shenandoah. Maybe many of you have seen this movie. One of the first few scenes of the movie is a picture of Jimmy Stewart, and he's sitting there at the table with all of his family, huge family. And Jimmy Stewart begins to pray over the meal that they have, and he says something along these lines. Dear God, today we plowed the land. God, we planted the seeds. Lord, we cultivated this land. We harvested the crop that is now on this table. God, we work like dogs to get the food that we have today. But just the same, thank you anyway. Amen. I want to ask you today, are you thankful? If you had 8 hours left before Christ calls the church home, would you be thankful? Father God, thank you so much for this time this morning to share. And God, look at your word. And Father, how it shares with us how we ought to be thankful. God, there is so much today, things that I have not even mentioned this morning, that we as believers, God, we ought to be thankful for. Lord, I pray right now in this service this morning, if there is someone here today that has not been thankful, God, for whatever reason, they may have taken a lot of things for granted. I pray in this moment right now, God, today they would begin. I pray possibly for that one person that's here in this room or listening by the internet that, God, if they do not know you as Lord and Savior, they've never began a relationship with your Son Jesus as Savior. I pray for that person now that, God, they would have the greatest thing that they could have to be thankful for when they leave this building today, and that is salvation. Lord, I pray in this time of invitation now that, God, we would see fruit brought forth, not for our glory, but for yours. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen.